we'll stay with. Be prudent with our discussions and see if we can move this along. We'll call the meeting to order 6:34 on July the 9th. Okay, so Acock and Miles, Cameron is here to give us a report. We'll go ahead and turn the time to him.
Okay, well, we'll be fast so we can get that last we won't hear from the auditors, right?
We've been looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Let's go to page 12. We'll start page 12. Everything went really well and smooth with the audit. Board control, met oversight. Everything had proper documentation, which is really great to see. So, that's what the chief thing, start looking for. But let's start here in 12 and look at your year. So you got 2021, 2020 side by side. You can see your operating income went from 1.7 million in 2020 up to 1,913,000. So what made those changes? Two things. Other operating income was up to 124,000, 43,000. But then also your sales and services increased about almost 76,000 as well. So pretty comparable. But definitely with the direction you want to see it go. Operating expenses, you ended the year with $1,520,000, and last year you were slightly less, $1,494,000. Water purchases is your big thing that stands out there. There's an increase there to $651,292. Last year it was $592,000. The others are pretty close to the same. In fact, your repairs and maintenance went down. That's in the middle there. It's $73,166. The year before, you were $90,334. So a little bit of decrease there, which of course is what you want to see. So total operating income of $393,000 compared to $267,000 in 2020. Now we get to your non-operating income, your impact fees, sale of any assets. You had $7,500 in sale of assets. You had $32,000 and interest income, $15,718. Notice that interest income, one thing to point out, that's the change in interest rates. You can see in 2020, $36,849. So it went down, even though your cash went up. And we'll show you that here. So your cash went up, your interest income went down. So
surprise.
Yeah. Exactly. So total income $449,545, and we got zero under capital contributions. Even though you received that money from Pleasant Valley's grant, you hadn't spent it. So in theory, you hadn't earned it yet. So that it'll show next year on your financial statements. Jumping over to page 13, your cash flow. Key is that first section. You want to make sure that your cash flows from operating activities, you're maintaining the system you have cash flow wise. And you are, which is excellent. You see that bold number, $760,682 compared to $693,000. And then, of course, you had the different categories, non-capital, capital financing, and investing. The big thing in capital-related activities, you see those two big 800 numbers. Cash, the $891,000 for the Pleasant Valley grant and the $857,000 loan proceeds. So that's why your cash went way up this year. If you go down towards the bottom portion of that page, it's bold, a net increase or decrease in cash. You can see the total sum, and that's $1,881,000, your cash increase. And as you can see, most of it is obviously the grant and loan. So you went from 3.9 to 5.8 in cash, and your interest income, your expense still went down.
Perfect.
Tells you. Any questions there? Okay. Let's move on over to page... change note 3-C, changes in capital assets. The first section there, construction in progress. You can see there was some change there, $448,351 in addition. And that is, you know, the project which we've spoken about. So there's some change there. In the second section, you had some changes in machinery and equipment. A truck, some equipment from Ditch Witch, and then you also had one that you sold that was a cost value of $66,300. So that's a change in capital assets. If we go to note 3-D, this is your long-term liabilities, and you begin the year $922,000 in long-term debt. Added $857,000 in additions on the Pleasant Valley project. You can see there at 1%. You paid $94,000, and so you ended the year at $1,685,000 in long-term debt. And then you look down below, you can see the payments going forward. You can see in 2023 you go from 2022 from 94 to 2023 $119,000 as you kick in that new loan you have.
So, perfect.
And we'll go through the last pages. I know unless you want to. There's just notes there about the various things that would require to test the internal control, which is safeguarding the assets of the district, as well as looking at, you know, the various state compliance requirements that you have. Excellent report. There's no state compliance findings. So, good job, Dan. Good job, board. Everything they have us change all the time, which ones we're doing, and you're on top of them. So, good. Nice job. Any questions for me? Okay.
Well, thanks very much. Thank you. Appreciate the report and the no findings. We appreciate that. So.
Good job. Good job.
Okay, thanks, Cameron.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, so let's see, Sunrise Engineering. Jason, you've got some updates for us on Pleasant Valley and other items.
Pleasant Valley and other items. Come down, pass around. Okay, so Pleasant Valley, the construction is complete down there. They were able to get all the paving done in the last couple weeks along the road. There's just a few things that we noticed, some shoulders need to be filled in, and a couple other small things, but Weldon has reached out to us and said that they want to do a final walkthrough, and we can address some of those in the final walk. It would be ideal to have one or two board members or more if you want to attend that, but next week sometime we're looking at doing a final walkthrough of Pleasant Valley and getting that taken care of so they can get their final retainage on that.
Do you have a day when they're thinking?
We were going to ask you guys what would work and who would want to be available and who would want to attend that, and then set a day and time with them. So.
You set the time as long as people can be there.
Okay.
I think it'll probably be just that. Set a date and whoever can make it can make it.
Sounds good.
Karen can just notify us.
Yeah. Yeah. We can do that.
Middle of the week work better for you guys?
I think Wednesday on is probably be Wednesday or Thursday.
Thursday. Maybe shoot for Thursday. Tentatively. And let Karen know the time.
Thursday
is the 16th, 15th or 16th, Wednesday or Thursday.
16th.
Okay.
9 o'clock. Mornings work better. Who would be interested in going?
Well, I'd be interested. Just gotta see if I can. I gotta check my
schedule,
calendar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let us know the time, Jason.
Yeah, I'll touch base with them.
Okay.
Schedule something for that Thursday. With that, the final construction costs for Pleasant Valley came out to $1.022 million, but there's going to be a reimbursement coming from the county for half of the overlay, and that's going to be $46,104. So it takes the total construction cost down to $976,074.38, which is 100.4% of the bid price. So they came in basically right at what the bid was. And you were able to get a little extra footage on your pipe too. You got another 550 feet beyond, plus another 240 feet of that line going up to Zager's road. And so there was a lot that you got more than what was initially voted for on that. So good deal there. And yeah, there is that agreement. We'll coordinate with Duchesne County to get their payment back to you guys for that, because that was part of their agreement, was paying half of that overlay. So there's that. We're complete as far as the project goes. We've got our quantities on here. Some of them were over, some of them were under, and we'll do a final change order for quantities to sum it all up when we get to completion of the project. As far as project funding goes, you had the funding that was given was $1.748 million, and we put together the table on the back that shows, and it's up on the board too, but we've updated with our engineering to date. We haven't given all of our billings yet, so there's a little bit left there, but we've added our engineering costs to date and given you a total spent on this project. So we're at $1.5 million total. And then with that, there is roughly $227,000 available for the rest of the project. And last month we talked about that we had anticipated more than that. Unfortunately, I was using the initial grant that we had applied for, with the $2.45 million. So we thought there was more available in there. We went back and revisited. It was only the $1.7 million. So we've got roughly $200,000 left over. You contracted with us last time to do another $107,000 worth of work, both construction and design, for Ledge Lane. We've only done about $4,000 worth of design on that project at this point, and then we've put it on hold since learning this. We're not going to proceed with that unless you guys want us to. Ultimately, if you wanted to break the remaining parts of that project up, there's a couple ways to do it. So there's a couple pieces to this project. There's the booster pumps, replacing booster pumps in the station alone. And doing that, and I think our initial cost estimate was roughly $150,000, probably closer to $200,000 to put the pumps in and replumb to feed into the Ledge Lane tank at this point. So that would fit in the budget. The other thing is replacing the pipe that goes along 8000 West. We figure there's roughly 4,000 feet of pipe that would be replaced there. We know that it's a really old pipe, but if it's not giving you problems, maybe worth getting another 10 years out of it. That's up to you and your operators to decide on that. But if we wanted to replace that 4,000 feet of pipe with the costs of the HDPE right now and with what Weldon is quoted for their installation, you'd be roughly in that $200,000 range as well. Now, the other thing was adding the automation. And Jim has been talking a lot with SEI about the automation and what that can add to your system. Now,
And I don't know if his quote included the pumps or not, or if it was just automation, but
just automation.
The automation alone, and this is kind of the Cadillac version, if I understand right, that really sets your whole system, updates your whole system so that it all communicates properly and works with that booster station to get to Ledge Lane. That was roughly $588,000 to do the automation side of it. Now you start adding the other pieces to it, the booster pumps and the chlorinator in there, then you're getting closer to the $700,000-$800,000 range for the chlorinator, the booster pumps, and the automation. So it's there's a lot there, and ultimately you're not limited by the spending. You basically, the way the CIB works with it is once you reach your spending limit, then they consider it fulfilled, and you can spend whatever you want of your budget on project beyond that. And this is something that we ran into just recently with Jensen, is once they hit their funding, then it stopped. Another option is to go ask for supplemental funding from CIB, where they can give you more funding if it's not enough to cover. That's an option as well. But what you're looking at is we can break it up, or you can do it, and then the district would have to eat the costs of the full design of the full project.
So just so we're all aware, Jason, what was the projected amount that we were going to have left over after Pleasant Valley to spend on booster and chlorinating station and everything?
So as it is right now, that 227 is what's left over.
Right, but what was projected to be left?
Initially, we had projected anywhere from $400,000 to $800,000.
Wow.
$400,000 to $900,000. There was a few things that came into that. There was some more materials that needed to be purchased, and then there was also that road. There was more of it that needed to be paved. They ended up paving a full 24-foot wide instead of the 20-foot that it was. They got it.
We spent a heck of a lot of time potholing trying to find hidden irrigation lines.
Right. There was some other things in there that came up. There's some other change orders that came into play on that one too. So.
Okay.
So how much pipe do we have left over?
3,500 feet.
Did you account the value of that?
No, I did not account for that in that 200,000 estimate, but that's 8-inch pipe. If you wanted to use that, then that would save, and you could go a little bit further with it for sure. I think what the plan was for 8,000 West was to do 10-inch pipe. So it's not as much benefit hydraulically.
But I just figured with the price now, we might be able to sell it to somebody or something.
Right.
Could be.
Make a little bit of money back. Okay. Well, that's news.
Yeah.
Not great news. So we were looking at a project of around $400,000 for the booster station.
Yeah, initially we were looking at like $400,000 to replace the booster pumps and then to replace that line. And then we'd also talked about if there's more than that left over, introducing some SCADA and some,
right,
some other stuff in there too.
Which we don't have enough to even cover the booster station now.
Right. Well, you'd have enough to cover the booster station alone to replace the pumps and the plumbing in there. And as far as that goes too, we've got... like I said, we started on design. We've got a good preliminary design that you can use for the future of this project, or use for funding to secure more funding through this project if you want. So
we'd have to wait until next go around of the CIB.
Yeah. Yep. But at this point, we've put a hold on the design side, and we're not doing anything else unless you guys want us to.
Okay. Okay. Thoughts?
When you mentioned automation, what is that? I don't want to get a long detail. I just wondered.
It's what communicates what the system's doing.
So the automation
system or just
everything tells us what the tanks are doing, what our flows are. And it was the Cadillac that I had him do. I mean, we were going to put meters on almost all the PRVs, pressure reducing stations. We were going to have them all pressures read to us. It was over and above, and I think we cut back quite a bit on it and established certain things later. But I wanted to have that full thing thought out, and then we can cut back from there.
So if we did the tanks and the main necessities for now.
Well, the flows are going to be a big issue with what the DNR is making us do with the source use every year.
The only information we have right now is Brisbane tank, knowing what's going in, what's going out. Mm-hmm. And we know what's coming in from Victory Pipeline at Borum, well, at any of the places where it comes in. We know those. But as far as what's going through a PRV somewhere, we have no idea.
Well, and East Duchesne confuses everything. Right. Where we had to share that tank with them, and we've been trying to work with them on fixing that, and we made it more difficult.
But it's kind of working.
It's
now.
Working, but it's a lot of work to get it to.
So basically, we got that great big 12-inch plunger valve at Lake Borum that is useless, because the most we can get out of it is like 150 gallons a minute without disrupting the flow in the Victory Pipeline, because it's not a steady flow. It's like if somebody shuts down, then it ricochets back and forth into the Victory Pipeline. So somewhere between 100 and 150 is the most he can do. So we're just letting him use that for East Duchesne now. East Duchesne is paying for that water that's going into our system rather than going into the tank, because we couldn't get a regular flow from East Duchesne going into the Bridgeland tank. They cannot run their pumps at 80 gallons a minute. And that's what it is. Over the last two or three years, they average right around 80 gallons. It's not every day, but over the year, it's 80 gallons a minute. And so that'll keep us even with them. And if everything's even, then we don't have to report to the water rights that we bought water from them or we sold water to them, because it's just going to even out. And at the end of the year, we'll either increase it or decrease it to make it.
It's all being metered, so we have a recollection of what's what?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why they're paying for our water going into Lake Borum.
Gotcha.
So is it wrote down anywhere so that the guy knows exactly what's doing where?
Yeah, Clyde is running the whole
show. Kind of
on
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it was messing him up too. Well, it was his numbers to report and everything. Plus it keeps an even flow. It keeps East Duchesne from peaking as much as the plant, which could potentially cause us more money, because if they have peaking problems, then they're going to have to build a new reservoir up by the plant. We'll have to participate in the cost of that. But if we can eliminate any peaking, then there won't be any need for a reservoir, because their operation will run smoothly. Now, if we can just get Duchesne City to quit peaking.
So, Jason, just give us an idea, I guess, just a rough idea on the 226,000, how far will that go then as far as to the booster station? Will it cover the booster pumps? It won't cover the pipe? What are we looking at?
I think that will cover the pumps, replacing the pumps in the booster station and getting the a new inlet pipe to your ledgeline tank.
Clear to the tank?
Well, to the inlet line of the tank.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think it'll get you that far. There may be a little bit of automation for that station that can be added into that budget as well, but probably not a chlorinator.
Okay.
So we got to make priorities here, okay? So right now we can flow from Victory Pipeline into the tank. It's not absolutely necessary that we flow into the tank, but it is absolutely necessary that we get the booster station done so we can get to UPALCO. The only reason, one of the reasons we wanted that to go into the tank was to circulate the water in the UPALCO tank so that we could fill it up and completely drain it. So that we don't have captive water stuck up there into that tank. And so we could probably still do that by how we, you know, by emptying it out completely and then just pumping it full again without going into the tank. But that's one thing we might do instead of doing that phase of running it back up to Ioka tank. We may just get it so it works up to UPALCO and then add that at some later date.
Right.
So priority would be booster pump. And some telemetry with that.
And with the booster, is it back to the drawing board?
Not so much. I think on those ones, I think we work closely with Mountainland and Precision
Skid.
And potentially do a skid that can be brought in there. Let's look at that. And we plan to meet with Mountainland tomorrow, and we can talk with SCI about that. And
so we can still do the exact same thing, just in phases, right?
For sure, yeah.
And then maybe go after some money for finishing of the telemetry or whatever we need to do.
Yep,
absolutely.
So on a skid, you're not planning on permanently installing this booster station?
It will be permanent, but...
They come pre-built, and so you save money on the cost.
Oh, gotcha. So we could ultimately permanently install the skid. Okay.
Yep.
And the building up there will be used as the chlorination room. They want it separated.
Okay. Okay. What do you guys think? I mean, as far as recommendation, priority would be a booster pump. I think we'd need to get some hard costs.
Yeah.
Is there a date, timeline that we have to use this money by?
No.
Okay.
No.
So we've got, if you can come prepared next month with her, you guys all get together and see what it's going to cost us.
Yeah, I think tomorrow we'll have a pretty good idea of what we're up against. I think we'll be able to have that conversation with Mountainland and with SEI and come up with a good proposal and probably keep it within the $200,000 range. Or if it goes above and beyond, that might be something that comes to the board too of like, hey, this may be a little bit more than the $200,000 and we can tell you by how much so that you can make that decision.
We could just cut the engineering piece.
Well, and absolutely. That is something, like I mentioned before.
I'm just kidding.
We did bring in, assuming that there'd be that pipe installed. So on that side of it, there's definitely not as much construction engineering needed and likely not as much design. We could probably modify the contract to reduce some of those costs for you guys.
Right.
So,
board, what's your thoughts? Have them prepare something for next meeting and come with some hard costs.
I think that we need to address it any earlier.
Pardon me?
Do we need to address it any earlier than a month away on the meeting?
No, I don't think so. I think
give you enough time to get your
all the costs down.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe even a couple of plans.
Yeah. Give us some options.
Yeah.
Right. If we had the $800,000 left over, it would be a lot easier, but since we don't, we probably better trim the fat a little and see what we can do within our means.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Okay. Along with that, we did have a conversation, or we did have a meeting with Water this week. Ultimately, and across the Vixen profession, as we noticed that the ERCs that were put on the application was an older set. It was from a previous year when there was a higher use. And so it made the recommended funding not as favorable for Johnson Water. And so we brought it up in the meeting. Dixon brought it up, did a good job bringing it up to them, and they basically said, okay, work with our staff, come back next month with, or the next meeting, whether it's next month or the next meeting, whenever that is. Come back with those numbers squared away. There was a few things messed up on the recommendation, on the analysis for what they recommended funding. They recommended a 20-year loan, 100% loan with a 2% interest rate on that $2.5 million for Independence.
20 years.
And it ended up being like $150,000 a year.
So do you guys know what ERCs are, what he's talking about? ERCs are equivalent residential connections, okay? So when we sell a ton of water through industry, it drives our ERC number higher and higher. And then you divide your annual operating costs by that number. And the higher the number, the lower your score is that they go off of, okay? So we were like 1,000 less than what the number that we put on the application was. The 2021 number was 1,000 less, and I pointed out to them that maybe we're unique because we sell a lot of industrial water and our ERCs fluctuate a great deal depending on if it's a good year for the oil field or
right.
or bad. And so that can really, I mean, it puts us in a lot better position with that new ERC, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely puts your average bill up higher. And that's ultimately what they were looking at, is they're saying, well, your average bill shows that it's less than even the base rate that you have for residential connections to pay for that project. And it wasn't accurate at all. There was some errors with it. So ultimately, the board just decided to have Dixon and us work with the staff at Drinking Water to get those squared away.
And we don't know exactly what they're going to do because, you know, if our ERCs change greatly, you know, I don't know how they're going to do that because if they go way sky high, are we going to have to pay more? Or if they drop way low, are they going to help us out? We don't.
So likely it'll be better terms with dropping it down to the number that you had brought up, and we'll be able to potentially get grant offered with that. Roosevelt City, very similar size project. We got 100% grant.
Yeah.
So it didn't quite add up that they got 100% grant, but the neighbors with a very similar project got
$2.8 million,
that's
right.
Yeah.
Grant.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to keep it. Because they used bad numbers. They didn't use ERCs, they used total connections. If we use total connections, we'd go from a 1.25 to 4.68. And that's what Roosevelt did. You don't use total connections, you use ERCs. And they used total connections, and that's a total bogus number. And they got a total grant.
We should have done that. Well, why didn't you guys think of that, Jason?
We tried to be accurate.
Jeez.
For the most part.
See how that pans out.
Well,
okay. Well, that would be something. I guess you guys are just going to have to
to them. We'll keep you updated on when the next board meeting is, when they'll be back, and what the next analysis is, too.
Okay.
There's just a lot of factors in play on that one, so... and then along with that too, we've looked at the tribal parcels through there. We've got about half that are tribal and half that are tribal lotees. And so that's going to be a process, and that's something that we'll probably need to discuss. But ultimately, you're going to have to start working with BIA as soon as possible on that to start getting the right of ways through there. Along that section, there's not really a good way to get around those allottees either. You're either up in the cliffs or down in that valley, and that's just kind of what we're up against. So if you want, we can prepare a cost for next time to start that work, working with the BIA on those right-of-ways so that you can, if you want to, you can pursue getting that process started now
so
that when funding comes for that project, you're ready to go.
So have we decided that piggybacking in the Uinta County easement is not something that we're going to be able to do?
They're going to fight that, and it's whether you want to join that fight or not, more or less, and how much the county is willing to go to bat for you on that one, too. That it'd likely be a court battle on that one, so whether it's worth it or just to wait another year or so on construction to get that squared away, maybe worth just getting it squared away and getting it so that it's on good terms with the tribe, Then you don't have to worry about it from there on out. If the tribe ever changes their mind, then sues the county again to secure their land. So,
well, it would definitely be advantageous to have a cost, I guess, before we decide on that.
Well, and along with that, too, the cost wouldn't be much different if we also included in that coordination east of Mike. I know that that's the next one on your master plan priority list. It's been one of your big problem child issues, so we'll get you, if you're okay with that, we'll get you a cost for both Independence and Mighton, because it wouldn't be a whole lot of more coordination on our end to make it happen. So
yeah, I think before we make a decision, we gotta have some numbers. So
okay, I'll make note of that and we'll prepare that.
Any thoughts, you guys, about the direction you'd like them to get some costs and bring back to us next time?
I think that's what we need to do, is get the costs. And I think it's wise to include the mine.
Right. Yeah, while we're doing it. Okay.
It'll be a thorn in our side.
Okay.
Is all of mine in tribal now? Is that what? I heard they own the roads, is that it?
What is it, like, one, two, it's about 3 miles where we have to go to rebuild that line that would be in tribal land. Three and a half or something.
As far as I know, the town of Mike itself, yeah, all the streets and everything are...
So they didn't take over the maintenance. They wanted to take over the policing, and they didn't do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then your stream alteration permit. So the crossing out here behind the shops and the property. We did get the archaeologist out here to do the survey, and our engineer put together the report and submitted it. One of the things that has to happen is we have to submit to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for review, and they have 30 days to review it for any endangered species, whether it's plants or animals in that area. And worst case scenario, they can come back and say, yeah, we need to have a survey on an endangered species. The only one that we're aware of that is likely to be there, but, well, that could be there, is the Euladius tressus. But we don't know. They may look at this and say, well, this really isn't a habitat for it, and we're good. If they come back and say, no issues, then we'll be able to get this permit completed and you guys are good to build your crossing. If it goes the full 30 days from the 26th of May, so around June 25th, if we go that full 30 days and there's no correspondence from Fish and Wildlife, then you guys will be able to move that application through.
June 30th would be the date on that?
Yep, so we'll be able to, we'll know more by June 25th what's happening with that, and hopefully be able to just push it through and get you guys your crossing.
Okay, very good.
And the application I have signed, is that right?
I think we had just... Did we for that?
I thought I signed it.
Okay, maybe we did.
It might still be on our desk.
He may have to have you sign something else after he's finished.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I did also talk with our, so we recently were able to hire another planner, so I've got a meeting with her tomorrow. We'll go over costs for looking at your code and getting that squared away, because I know that was something that we brought up a couple months ago. So we should have that here in the next couple weeks, have a better idea of what we're up against with your code once she's reviewed what Karen's given us, and then we'll have a better idea on that in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. How about the mapping?
And the mapping, yes. So I talked with Ben about that, and I think, yeah, he was a little ways out on getting a map put together, but I'll follow up with him.
Okay.
So when he works on it, does he take it off the online?
Occasionally they will, yeah. If they're doing some maintenance, you'll experience an outage.
Because I couldn't find that layer today when I was on the thing, but I came back to the office and it was on the office line,
okay.
Not on the phone.
And sometimes on the different devices that you're using it, there's a memory cache with whatever browser you're using, whether it's Google Chrome
or something.
And so you've got to reset your memory cache and dump all the bad data that is in there. It's supposed to do it periodically on its own, but every once in a while you got to do it manually, and our guys can help you with that too if you need to call them up.
This is the easement mapping you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's another map I'm having to make for the with our boundaries.
Good.
And our
the
precincts.
Yeah.
Good.
So that they're not questionable.
That boundary map, make it so you can share it one way or the other.
Okay.
Digitally would be better. I know. Roosevelt City would appreciate having one that would be a digital copy.
So, and on the annexation, am I okay to throw that as sections? And then they ask for parcels on it, but can I ask for the section?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the maps that we provided have that. That might be a question for UASD guy. What's his name?
And it's hard down there because it's right there on the border of
the meridian.
The meridian.
Yeah.
And,
Salt Lake and the
UNA
base and special meridian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're trying to find out them exact.
Right. Yeah, let's...
And the map might help me a little bit. So.
Okay.
All right.
I'll follow up with Ben and I'll let you know on that one. Okay.
See if you can break something off.
Okay. Bring the map tomorrow?
No. Just information on the bad area.
Okay.
To see if where our boundary is, if you
can
figure it out.
Yeah. I'll see what he has on that. If anything, we should be able to get you a better outline in GIS, pretty simple too, so.
Is the taxing district, does it state on the parcel viewer, does that help with anything? Will that bring up any information if we look into that?
Depends on what they've got available, what the county has available on it. Sometimes they
are vague.
Are vague. Sometimes they don't share as much information on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Impact study, is that yours as well?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Oh,
our planner.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
All right, moving on. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate
thanks.
Your update. And come with those numbers, I guess, next time, and we'll
yep.
get a little better idea.
Yes, we'll.
Okay. All right, on to the minutes for your review. If you haven't, better browse over them quickly and see if there's any changes.
Corrections.
Thank you, guys.
I've seen one thing where it says welding construction is to the weldon somewhere in there.
Darn
it. There wasn't even on the minutes. There's just something about welding construction was doing something. I think it should have just been welding.
Don't know where it was at, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you get that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So where is it at again?
Right here on the
draft page.
D. On the first page, Sean D.
Right after the 401,000 as well.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Any others?
I didn't see anything else.
I didn't catch anything either. Okay, well, we'll call for the question, accepting the minutes.
I would.
Okay, Dan moves that we accept the minutes as revised.
Second.
By Paul Percival. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, if I need to say aye.
Okay.
Good. Can you do both sections together? The special meeting?
Yes. No, we need to do the special meeting separate. So that will be for the regular board meeting minutes. Okay, special. Onto the special board meeting minutes of May 24th. Do you have that? I didn't see any corrections that needed to be made.
I will do this, except the special.
Okay. Paul moves. We accept the special meeting minutes. Do you have a second?
I would second that.
Dan Crozier seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous? Okay. We got that taken care of. On to the financials. That was really loud. This so we don't forget this thing.
That's why I put it in there.
Perfect.
I got one.
Oh. That's a good thing. The only two items that were over on budgeted is late payment penalties and connection fees. That's a good thing. Or what, about halfway through? Oh, no, we just started our fiscal year, didn't we? No, we start in January, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
So we're halfway through almost. Good. Replacement, is it just a how we
itemize it? Yeah, that's
okay.
How we put it in there.
Gotcha. That's how we get the bill. Okay. I see.
But it's not,
yeah, right. That works.
It's the new bank or is it?
Yeah, it's here. We broke it in.
Could you?
It broke itself. Yeah, we had it blanked out the first time we tried it.
Really? Had a leak?
Yeah. Did you see it when we were up there and had it all the way up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A hydraulic leak?
It was a solenoid breathers. I don't know if they said they've had problems with them.
They popped off?
Yeah. So they come right that next Monday and fix those.
Good. What's the warranty on a new VACO?
They use it 2 years?
I don't know.
I would remember it was in the thing.
I would hope it was two, at least two, for that kind of money, right?
Yeah. Now I hope I'm not kicking myself if they really have this death sword shortage.
Oh boy. It sounds like it might be a reality.
And they're saying 1540 oil is going to be the next one.
Of course. anything industrial grade they're trying to bleed, break us.
Yeah.
Try getting air filters right now. I've been blowing air filters out for equipment, and I've never had to do that because they can't get them.
Yeah.
Not good.
Paul did his Challenger Swatcher, and it was $600 for filters.
That's not good, guys. And down. Not good at all. Okay. Guaranteed the fuel's going to start going up. Hopefully we've got enough in our budget for fuel. We don't have to open that up, do we? We're $5 for gas now. Been over $5 for diesel for a while. Financial report. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Dean seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. We'll pass this around so we don't forget to sign it this time. Okay. Dixon, I think you are up.
Okay, I was talking to Dusty this morning about this independence project, and he wanted me to talk to Drinking Water about what, because independence is a total separate system. From, well, we have a different number, we have to do duplicate reports and everything. If we were to take the costs involved, If we just separated it out, you know, we could figure out what our expenses are. And it's like we could get a lot better number if we just treated it as a separate system instead of having the rest of the system subsidize the increased cost. And so I wrote a letter to one of the board members and asked him about that, you know. What is the possibility of separating it out? Because it is a totally separate system. And so, well, I think it's, well, off the top of my head, we bring in like $24,000 a year, and it costs us, they are 5.6% of our system as far as the number of connections. And their ERC is easy to figure out because it's just, they're all residential, so it's the same. It doesn't change. And but if in order to get them water, that, and then I pointed out the problems we have because tribal water is controlled by the EPA. Our water system is controlled by the Utah Division of Drinking Water, and. So if there is like a, if we get a positive back T coming into our system right there at the meter, according to DDW, we're supposed to test 5 connections upstream, and we can't do that because it's a different system, and it's not our system, and it's, they're not under the supervision of the Division of Drinking Water. So, and it's happened numerous times, and those guys there are just really frustrated, the guys out in Salt Lake, because they don't know what to do. So since then, they've worked a little bit with the EPA. But anyway, there's still that problem, because there's a federal agency with, that works with the tribe, and the state agency works with us. And when there's a problem like that, they don't mesh very well. Anyway, so that's one of the problems. The other one is that in order to get water over there, that bid was what, $2,300,000, something like that. So if you took that and it wasn't a grant, and if you treated that as a separate system, that would up their bill by about $164 a connection.
Per month?
Per month.
And that's a good way to pitch it back to them. Because you're exactly right. And in a lot of the cases, honestly, like Roosevelt City, for example, Stonegate, the assessment for the additional cost of sewer is imposed just in that area, special assessment district. So this would be no different. I think that needs to have a little light shed on from the board's side of things.
So I just... I know Dave Pitcher's on the board. He's also on the, one of the executives at Central Utah, and he comes out to the treatment plant for our meetings, and so I know him. So I'm just communicating with him so that he can maybe spread the word and see how they feel about that. You know, what is the rule? Because it's actually a totally separate system. We would do all reports separate, and the only thing we'd do is combine our workforce, you know. But I took all of our water purchases off our main system, and I added in just the purchase from the Ute Tribe to get the cost. And then I took 5.45 or something like that, 5.57% of the connections, and then took our total expenses and put it in there, and it came up to that, well, I can't remember what it was, $43,000 a year, what it costs, and they bring in $24,000. Anyway, it costs us more money. It costs us $10,000 to $20,000 more a year to service that system than what we bring in off of it.
How many connections did you say we had?
51.
Now the regular Johnson system isn't tied to that system.
No,
at all.
And that's what this project would accomplish, is to tie our system together. But that's a good point, and if they realize, you know, this is a total separate system, we're trying to get it tied to our existing, but in order to do that...
And I pointed out that we cannot... Last year, the tribe curtailed or put restrictions on Ballard City. They didn't on us, because they said we weren't using that much. We only have a 2-inch connection, but... So, the tribe needs their water, it looks like. Sent to me, and we cannot add more. We've had the request for connections in Independence, which we cannot do because we don't have the capacity in the line. We've got enough water, but we don't have the capacity in that 4-inch line, and then it tapers down to 2-inch lines at the ends, and it just so happens that at both ends is where all the construction is off those 2-inch lines, and people want lines out there, and we just can't do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, It wouldn't hurt us as much if they wanted to hook to the 4-inch line. And there's a section of 8-inch in there. That wouldn't hurt us either. But off the 2-inch lines, it just won't work.
Right.
So I put all that in there. So we'll see what his response on that is. And
so is this construction housing? Or
It's people that are just calling and seeing if they own land out there. And I think they're thinking of building a house.
I see.
We've had some people who are beyond our system out in Uinta County, about a mile, who I guess don't have decent water, and they're trying to get water. And so I just told them, I said, well, if we get this system extended, then they would have to put in like a mile of their own pipe across their own property, because it's the same thing, Indian land on both sides. But they own property where they could actually bypass it through their own property and get to their house if they wanted. But it'd be like a half mile or so of their own pipe. That we would put the meter right at the end, and we wouldn't put the meter up in their yard. But.
So right now we have a moratorium on anything down there. We have right. Zero water available.
So water available. The
town's kind of dealing with the Indians and that. But if you had to... A new pipe in there. Is that what you're saying? Is if you get
basically we could operate Independence. That system would have to pay for that pipe that hooks into us. We are a better source, so we're hooking from one part of us to another part of us. But these are the guys that are benefiting over here, and so it should go on their bill to build that, to spend that $2 million to get that pipe over there. And But the whole idea of doing that is because they're not going to go, they're not going to stick $2 million on, they're not going to give 50, them a loan. 50, they'll 50, give 50, them a grant because nobody can carry that big of a loan and pay for it. Like 100, what I say was 160 something right. extra. That's on top of the, $40 that they pay already.
So they're paying, they'd be paying roughly $200 a month.
Right, right.
And I think that's a good way to pitch it though. So they see the benefit of getting this project done. Not that we would do that, but in reality, it's benefiting 50 customers and some growth area for us. But I think you're on the right path, though.
But there aren't that many systems that, I mean, there aren't that many, yeah, there aren't many water districts that run two systems, two completely separate systems.
You mentioned earlier the EPA was over the one and...
No, the EPA is over the tribe, but we buy the water from them. So when there's any trouble with the water,
then it has to go.
Then the there's bureaucracy between the Division of Drinking Water and the EPA on who's on. We can't go to the tribe and say you need to run tests on all of these connections upstream and on your source. We can't tell them that because they're a sovereign entity that's controlled by the EPA. And so if we have our own water, then that problem just goes away.
So if we were to tie that system in, then it would no longer be fed by tribe.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
But it's going to cost that $2 million to do it.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yep. But we can grow and lift the moratorium, and they'll have a more sustainable source of water. Because right now, last year, they cut... They shut everybody except for us off, right? Ballard mm-hmm. had to shut down all outside watering.
Yeah.
They had a moratorium on any watering except for us for some reason. I'm surprised.
So. Okay, anyway, so that's... We're still waiting to see how that's going to work out. We got to talk, like Jason said, we've got to have a meeting with the officials of Drinking Water about that funding and... And to tell you the truth, I wasn't too impressed. You know, they're paying analysts out there to go over these applications, and I saw several applications that were total garbage, and they gave them $500,000 grants.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
So when do you go to those meetings? How often?
They haven't set them up. Oh, you mean which one?
Well, what are you talking about where you've seen the loan application?
That was the funding meeting for this SRF applications. So they're going to have another one in July, and they tabled ours, so we're either going to be on the schedule in July or August. They didn't give us a specific, because they said one of the next meetings. And at first they said July, and then he says, or one of the next meetings. So
do you go there with the engineer, or?
Well, after we've met with the people from Drinking Water to discuss the ERCs, how they change, go up and down, and so what do we really use to base our ability to repay the loan on? Is it based on ERCs? Is it based on connections? Is it, you know, because our income fluctuates wildly. I told them, I said, look, in 2013, oil was selling for over $100 a barrel. And in 2014, it dropped to $40. And production went way down. Just because that, you know, so it drops $60 a barrel, you know. And I said, right now it's at 120, we don't know what it's going to do. Everybody says it's going to keep going up, but they end the war in Ukraine and kiss up to the Russians again. Price oil may just drop like a rock. I don't know. You guys smarter than me about oil.
Crystal ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those.
But see, every other water district is like Independence. They have mostly residents, a few commercial, and a few industrial. So they don't have these wild swings like we do.
Right.
And so their ERCs are a pretty good indicator of what their income is going to be.
Well, I think you got the right idea. I think we can get behind you on that.
Okay, and then
that's a good.
The next thing is Bike Shiner just for your information, he came in one day and telling Karen, he says, why are you sending me a bill? And Karen called me in, or I was in there, I can't remember. And it's like, on what? On Wall's house? No, my house, across the street. That's what we've always sent you a bill. Yeah, but you guys need to start paying my water bill now. Because you guys are crossing my property to get to your tank.
Because you're crossing his property. You're crossing his property?
Yeah.
The road is on his property.
The road is on his property. So I said, we can't give you free water. We have to charge you. I said, we can pay you for the land. We can buy the land. So, you know, if you want to set a price, come into the board and set a price. I don't want it. I just want it, my free water. I says, well, we can't do that. We can't do that. And he says, sure you can. You just sign a lease with me and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, he says, I'm going to trespass you if you send me another bill. I'm going to trespass you.
What does that mean?
That means he's going to tell the police that we're trespassing and if we go in there again. But...
You got that paper.
There's a little problem with an easement design. It gives us access.
And I was wondering if we needed to get with Gail.
This was back in 2002.
Yeah.
Just to...
Well, if there's an easement signed, the easement's signed. You know, so.
Okay, so he signed the descriptive... The easement's described as the road and into the tank. And he signed it, dated it, it's been recorded. There's no fight.
Just leave it alone?
Leave it alone.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And so if you send him a bill and he doesn't pay his bill, he shuts his water off?
Yeah.
So keep that handy. I would keep that handy in case he does call the police and we can just give him...
But see, we found that off of this program, you know. It was right there. In fact...
With the ones that they've done
yes.
for us? Awesome. And that just paid for itself again?
Yep.
Yeah.
So...
For the second time.
Third.
If I recall.
Third or fourth.
It helped.
Chasing points.
Anyway, so
okay.
I think the bottom line is that our board is willing to buy that little section if he just wants to give us a price.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I think we just leave it be.
Yeah.
We have the easement. If he wants to keep pushing it, we can show him the easement he signed. We would like to purchase it and clean it up, but if not, maybe down the road we can readdress it.
That won't even be a pain for him. I clean up the new Victory pipeline through my hayfield every year, so
right.
Picking up rocks and it's a quarter of a mile long or more.
Yeah.
Okay.
The next one is special service district. So I mentioned that there was a group of people, the Patels, that came in and they own 5,000 acres out there and they want water out in Pleasant Valley. Apparently they've gone to the county and they want to create a special service district out there. And Jim, you talked with the commissioner. Do you want to give us a rundown on that?
That they have approved for them to go to a meeting this next month to talk about them annexing into our district. It's the place around the Blue Station they own.
Oh.
And the county has approved to talk to them about that. But I have reached out to Miles Todd and to Eric Johnson and talked with them. Eric Johnson assured me that they was excited about being serviced by Johnson Water, and it wasn't necessarily for a district for water. It's more because it's going to be so high density that they're going to have sewer.
Oh, wow.
So, and as far as the one down below in... Wells Draw, I said we've got water wanted down there more this next year for Movinov. Clyde wants to do some different things with his system. I am talking with Clyde about the Conservancy District has got it plumbed to where they want to put a tank up by our tank in Bridgeland, like a 5 million gallon tank, and that would help with what we're doing. We've talked about putting it on flat top to head down that way with a whole separate, because we did that feasibility study
or I don't know if we actually went through with it with Jones and the Mill. Remember when we talked about going across the river straight down with a high pressure line? But I know we've talked about it. If that's something we want to do, and have Ovinnip and this Patel bunch contribute into it.
Pay for it?
Yeah, but they don't. So
sounds like there's going to be
the commissioners strongly advise them to come and talk to us. And Eric says they, at this time, they don't want to do anything too public. I said, that's fine. If you want to meet with a board member or two, and we can sit down and talk about what you guys are doing. I don't know what. But I found out they are getting a spur down there on their property, and they say it's for oil-affiliated use. So I don't know. But they're talking 1 million gallons a day that they want to use down there.
You're talking, when you say a spur, you mean you're talking about the railroad?
Mm-hmm.
Down in Wells Draw area?
Yep.
How, do you have water going out down there?
No.
We will. If they, you'd have to put a line from where?
We're talking Flat Top.
From Flat Top? Gee, that's a project.
That, well, we'd have to build, the Conservancy District and us would have to build a tank first. They haven't decided where they're going to put the tank. Initially, it's going to be up by our tank in Bridgeland, but this one here is closer. So there's a lot of pieces that got to come together before we do that. But one thing is clear, we need an alternate source of water to Pleasant Valley, because if the one across the river that goes through, what's his name's place?
Clayburns
mm-hmm. breaks,
yeah.
We're out of water out there.
So what's the Conservancy District's, as far as participating with them on a tank, are they going to pay for this tank? What's in it for them? Are they got more water they're going to sell
depends
to
depends on where we put it and who it...
Who it benefits.
It would benefit. And how.
But it benefits the whole system.
Right.
Because right now, he is committed to steady flows. He cannot take interrupted flows on and off. Mm-hmm. But with a tank, if he's filling that tank, then the tank can take interrupted flows. So you could, like I was talking about earlier about the Lake Borum plunger valve there, depending on where they put the tank, that one could go on and off,
right.
Because when it affects the tank, it doesn't affect his whole pipeline.
So would they have excess water that they would sell to us?
We talked about that with the irrigation water we've had, or we have. Clyde wants to talk about maybe a trade towards some water in...
If we need it.
But also, we have first right of refusal on 500 acre feet of
the
capacity in the Victor
right.
pipeline.
Oh, yeah. Right. We just have to buy the water to put it in.
So if these guys come and we don't buy it and they buy it, you know, if we don't take it, then we lose it, you know.
Right. How far is the Victor line from Flat Top?
It's right there.
Just comes through that.
Just south of it, or north of it.
Do they haven't given you any indication of why they want this, have they, what they're going to do with it?
They're really kind of quiet about what it is exactly, but homes.
It's going to be a mini town.
I think they'll.
If they're talking sewer, put two and two together.
Yep. Was it 400 homes?
Something like that, yeah.
Right off the bat.
Okay.
So, is the railroad going to go through?
Is it contingent on whether that railroad goes through?
Yeah.
So it's hung up in D.C. on a forestry permit, and I think they're hanging their hat on it as long as they possibly can. But that's where it's hung up. They're still confident it's going to go through, but.
But you look at the Biden administration,
exactly.
And they have stopped every single exploration thing they can do. And if they see that, the only trump card is that the tribe is behind it.
Right.
They don't want to tick off the tribe.
You're exactly right.
So.
But it's still kind of a gamble, isn't it? None of this will come to fruition until they get signed on the dotted line. All this is speculation.
But they can't. Commissioner Todd asked him, if we do not approve this, what are you going to do? And they'll go, we'll go about it privately. So.
Okay, well, that's good. I think it's some things we need to keep in the back of our head anyway.
Okay, then the Pleasant Valley backup plan, we kind of discussed that, right? Mm-hmm. The backhoe, was there something you wanted to talk about the backhoe on? Okay, and then we need to talk about, we're getting more and more of these shops that are being built in the county is now requiring fire prevention stuff, and we need a policy on, what is our policy going to be for setting up this Maverick place? They want an 8-inch line going in there, right?
And the county's requiring that for fire suppression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
is it that 8-inch line that we put in back to stone? Is that
yep.
You tie it on the it or what?
Yeah.
Now, what are you talking about this Maverick shop?
It's right over here off of...
In the event of a fire is the only time that thing will ever draw water. But the county is stuck on this 8-inch. Fire marshal is requiring it.
I was going to say, that's a requirement for a hydrant, isn't it, 8-inch?
And that's why they're transitioning it into these industrial buildings for the fire suppression.
And the only reason we're bringing it up is we want to know what we want in this policy. If we want it metered.
Do we want to charge them a monthly fee? Because even though they don't use it, we have to maintain it.
So you're charging a standby fee, basically,
yeah.
What to be charging.
Yeah, so we got to know how much, if we have a fee, how much it's going to be.
And if we can even do that.
That's good. As far as metering it, well.
Kind of like a fire hydrant, isn't it?
Yeah.
The thing is, he wants all fire hydrants metered. The division does. They want everything metered.
Wow.
Who does? He wants
the division.
They want all fire hydrants metered.
If we're using a fire hydrant, if we're everything.
I think this would be a case of let's see what some other entities are doing, districts are doing, municipalities.
They're just the ones I've talked to. They're making them go. They take care of all the costs.
The customer does.
Yes,
right.
We have to do the inspections on it, and then you just
see. And the one of the problems is on some of these, if it's not a heated shop, they put antifreeze in the water that's in the pipes, so you got to have backflow prevention and all kinds of stuff like that.
So the guy that I talked to will come back with a design, and that's the only thing is, and that could be our policy is. It's a board approval by the design.
Well, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. The ICC, International Code Council, has regulations for fire protection, fire flows within buildings. So if we just say and Utah has adopted these.
And so, we just leave it up to the fire marshal?
Yes. If we just adopt Utah's take on the fire and the state marshal, fire marshal, of the standards and regulations on fire protection, fire flows within the buildings.
The one thing I'd like to know is if he can charge an impact fee on it.
I don't think we can. Yeah. That's because it's not being used. It's for fire protection only.
But it's a possible leak from daylight to them. Yeah. Do we put something in there that says, all right, here's where we'll put a valve here. If it breaks from this valve into your building, it's on you guys.
Yeah.
Because if they have a fire, they turn it on, go on full board, and someone goes and shuts that off and blows it up
right on
their side at that point.
And it has to be in.
I think there has to be an automated system so that you have to have that pressure supply.
Yeah.
I don't think you can shut it off at the valve.
No, it has to be. And that's the problem with, well, not the problem, but with the meters and everything. If there's, it's got to be.
It has to be live.
It has to be unrestricted.
Other than the backflow.
Uh-huh. And it's required to go in black pipe. It has to be in black pipe. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen water that's been sitting in a black pipe. It comes out the nastiest stuff you've ever seen.
How often do they flush these?
They
things?
Don't know.
Especially if they get any antifreeze.
If it's in a different style pipe, though, it grows bacteria and it could plug the heads. So that's why they go with this steel pipe. So, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I think we could just make it simple and adopt the the state regulation and fire marshal on this. We don't need to reinvent the wheel on it. But as far as metering goes, that's a discussion. I think it'd be nice to have some comparisons to see what other people are doing.
I know that they put the indicators on it if it's been used on the outside of the building. And I think that actually the fire marshal makes them put something like that that shows if they've had a trip.
Yeah. Yep. So, okay. Well, I think you're on the right line. I think we just need to adopt the policy from the state that's been
some put together.
What would be the difference if a fire hydrant, say, for that building, just for that building, as opposed to a fire hydrant anywhere in town?
They're special. I don't.
it's still for some fire suppression. Now that other than you could have
for insurance
with the price. I mean,
or just to follow the code.
Yeah.
I think that's what it mostly is. It's just to follow the code, and they don't even care. If I got to go do the fire flow test on that fire hydrant up there, and I don't even know if they're going to care what that says.
Yeah.
But I said if it's not going to sustain an 8-inch line, are you willing to go down to 4-inch? He goes, it's whatever the fire marshal wants.
Right, right.
Yeah. So.
So if you have, now you go out, I suppose you guys go out and flow firefighters once a year.
We try.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get a list of them that we need to go do, and then we go out and do tests on them.
Yeah.
And that's one of our things with our new guy that's going to be done.
In the city, they have to flush run those every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the fire department does that.
Yes, they do.
Opens them out, flows them.
So they want to do ours too.
Wash your streets.
They want to check our fire hydrants for us.
Water your gardens.
They're the ones that have to use them, I guess. They make sure they're working order. So. Anyway, okay.
Okay, and then on the meter installed by contractor policy, I just haven't got around to calling any contractors to get prices or get their availability, so we're still working on that. And then there's an item that we need to bring up in closed session with regard to property.
Gotcha. Okay. Fraud risk assessment. Who's covering that one?
We can bypass it for another month.
No, perfect. Let's kick that can down the road. No action items tonight. I think we covered everything pretty well. Consensus just with Sunrise there as far as getting us some numbers and things. So no decisions needed to be made that way as far as spending money. So, okay, property update. I guess we want to wait to go to closed session on that one.
Well, on the sale part of it, mm-hmm. we've got how many offers now?
There's a couple.
Okay.
But I think that one that you had, the guy you know, is still a high bidder.
We haven't had a couple top. There's only been two that
showed interest.
So is there a limited amount of time we're going to put that up for sale? I mean, it's going to close off and take an offer.
So we just advertised it as offers. We didn't have, until we felt comfortable with one, we just kind of overhanded it by design. And so, okay.
I'd like to thank the staff for getting it out and advertised. I think they done it in a very timely manner, and I appreciate what they've done.
Yep.
I can even almost read it when I go by.
I originally put printed letters on, then I made them twice as big so I could read them too.
Okay, well, if that takes care of everything on the agenda, if somebody wants to...
I make a motion that we adjourn this one.
Go to closed session. We'll need a roll call. Dan moves that we go to closed session, and we'll do that by roll call.
Don't we have to say what we're...
Oh, yes. For what topic? We have to say for the discussion of property. Okay. For property.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the reminder, Paul. Okay, Dean?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
And Drew, if yes. Okay.